Good morning and welcome back from spring break. Let's begin our worship today then with the sixth and seventh petitions of the Lord's Prayer and their explanations. You'll find that on page 34 in the front part of the hymn book. The sixth petition. And lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? God certainly tempts no one to sin. But we pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our own flesh may not deceive us nor lead us into misbelief, despair, and other shameful sin and vice. And though we be thus tempted, that we may still in the end overcome and retain the victory. Seventh petition. But deliver us from evil. What does this mean? We pray in this petition, as the sum of all, that our Father in heaven would deliver us from every evil of body and soul, property and honor, and at last, when the hour of death shall come, grant us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Up at the University of Minnesota, there is what they call a lion research center. And they are presently monitoring over 300 lions that are tagged over in the Serengeti in Africa. And there are cameras set up all around all of these lions over there in Africa. And every year, the research team up at the University of Minnesota monitors these lions and observes and looks at over a million photographs of them. And the world's chief expert in the study of lions, a man by the name of Craig Packer, has been studying them for 40-plus years. He's about my age. And he has started and established this research center. And I'm going to use some of the things that he teaches us about lions based on his research to help us in our understanding of what God is talking about in our text. The Holy Spirit has chosen through the pen of Peter to use the imagery, the illustration, if you will, of the devil as a roaring lion walking about. And so it's good for us to pay attention to that. The Holy Spirit doesn't just flippantly, casually use illustrations and metaphors. They often have a deep meaning, a very penetratingly deep meaning of application for us. So today, as I go through these six main points about how lions operate with their prey, I would like you to apply this to your own personal life and to take some evaluation of your own life, as I do too. First of all, before we get into that, it's important for us to understand that lions do not hunt simply to harm their prey. They don't go out hunting hoping to just bite the leg of an animal. They do it rather to kill and destroy. And it's important for us to understand that about how the devil operates with us. He does not simply want to get you to fall into sin. That's no big deal to him. And it's an easy thing to do with us. But he doesn't want to just get you to fall into sin, but through that, to drag you into his cave and devour you. He walks about seeking whom he may devour, St. Peter writes. So let's go through some of the things that matter to lions in terms of how they go about seeking their prey. First of all, proximity is important. They are often lacking in speed compared to the prey that they are trying to catch. And rarely do they try to strike anything from outside of about 30 meters. And Satan likes to get as close to us in our lives as possible. There's a dangerous proximity to this. Lions also use the element of surprise. They will often try to hunt under the cover of darkness. They've even determined that many of these lions will try to attack more frequently when the moon is covered by the clouds. And that way that there's a greater element of surprise and when people are least aware. And that may be the case for us at times too, that maybe at times in our lives when we think that we're spiritually secure, that may be the time that we are the least thinking about the fact that the devil may try to attack us. To him who thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall, the Bible says. Lions also like to kind of lull their prey into having a false sense of security. And they can be extremely patient. They can be extremely patient when it comes to trying to go out and attack the prey. And they're often moving back and forth in the grass and sometimes inching closely, a little bit at a time, toward their prey. When Satan comes to talk to God in the book of Job, he says that he has been going back and forth on the earth. And you really get that picture of a lion, don't you? Going back and forth on the earth. So where are you right now most vulnerable with things in your own life and spiritually things that are going on in your heart? Are there places where the devil is kind of just trying to sneak into your life? Maybe it's little doubts that you have. Maybe it's certain things that we're just really weak about and can find ourselves being so tempted toward. Lions also like to collaborate with each other, and they will work together in a pack. They call it a pride of lions, and they will try to drive the prey toward other lions in order to help them hunt. St. Paul reminds us that there are spiritual forces of evil when he writes to the Ephesians, spiritual forces of evil. So there's often a collaborative effort that may be taking place. And there can be large amounts of demonic activity. We think about the story of Jesus throwing the demons out of the man, the young man, and they go into the pigs and they go off the cliff, an entire herd of pigs. So imagine if God were to give you a pair of glasses so that you could spiritually see the actual demons that are around us in the world and the different ways that they're maybe trying to work to try to attack us in our faith. Lions are also known for being very intelligent. They're the most intelligent of all the cat family, and they will often study the herd to pick out the one, the creature that is the most easily vulnerable. And they will watch for the best moment to try. They'll look for a limp, maybe, or maybe one that's a little bit slower with the pack. And we think about how God frequently talks about the devil studying us. It's kind of a freaky thing, isn't it, to think that the devil studies you to try to figure out and know the best place and time to get you. When Peter is talking to Christ before his going to his passion and so on, Jesus says to Peter, "Satan has asked to sift you like wheat." That's a penetrating thought, isn't it? Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. And even with Christ himself, our Lord Jesus, after his baptism, when he goes out into the wilderness to fast for 40 days, specifically goes out there to be tempted, but notice the devil tries to come at him when he's at a moment of his weakest. And of course, our Lord still stands up to him. Finally, one of the things we can learn is isolation. Lions like to isolate a particular victim, and it always favors the hunter when you can isolate the victim. And think of that for yourself too. The more that your spiritual enemies can get you away from the group of believers, away from the church, away from those who will help and support you and uplift you and surround you and strengthen you in your faith in Christ, the more he can get you alone and isolated, and it might just be through your computer. The more he can get you away from the church, the greater opportunity he will have to take you down. Now, knowing the dangers that our enemy brings to us and understanding all of this, God calls upon us here in his word to be aware, to be cognizant of the devil's presence. Probably one of the best things he can do is to convince you that you don't have to worry about him. Then you're sitting right in his lap. If you walk out of here thinking this is a bunch of hooey, I don't need to care about this, then he's got you already. So why does God want us to be so aware and cognizant of all of this? He says that we should be sober. That doesn't mean just to not be drunk or high or something, but to be spiritually sober. That means to approach your life with a sobriety that has to do with your faith in Christ and understanding the important spiritual things that are going on in your life, and to take the devil seriously. Be vigilant, God says. Now, God wants us to respect Satan, but not to be afraid of him and all of his cronies. Not to be overwhelmed by some sense of terror about the devil. We need to keep in mind he's just a fallen angel, okay? He's not equal with God at all. He's a fallen angel. And he's subject to the word of God, and he is subject to the power of Christ himself. Our true protection is to be found in the Savior that we have been latched onto by faith. God directs us here in the text to be steadfast in the faith. Faith, think about faith. Faith is such a simple thing. It's this little thing in your heart that just trusts in Jesus as your Savior, loves the fact that he died to pay for your sins, and you're looking forward to going to heaven. That tiny little thing that even a little child has the power to defeat the devil, not because of the faith, but because of what the faith is grabbing onto. Christ, who is the Son of God himself from eternity. The very one who created the angel world. God himself is the one that your faith in Christ latches onto and holds onto. That's why it has such tremendous power. Our actual faith goes up and down, weak and strong, all over the place. I know mine sure does. But it's what we're holding on to, who we're holding on to, that makes the great difference. It's this wonderful Savior. And that's why God calls upon us, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Throw all your anxieties about the devil and the wicked world that's out there, throw it on Christ, because that's the only thing that can overcome this. I remember years ago watching a documentary on gangs out in Los Angeles, the Crips and the Bloods. And they talked about how if you tried to get out of the gang, sometimes they would pursue you and hunt you down and even kill you. But the one way you could get out was through Christianity. They didn't want to mess with that. They didn't want to touch that. It's as almost as if they realized there's a power going on here that is beyond anything we can come up with our violence. Think how easily our Lord Jesus threw Satan aside during his temptation. And what did he use? The word, his own word, God's word. And he takes that same weapon that defeats the devil and drives him away and gives it to you and says, this is what you need in your life. Hold on to this and the wonderful truth that is brought to us through that word. So may God give us a healthy respect for our enemy, but at the same time, a greater appreciation for the one who has defeated him through his cross and his resurrection. And may he also strengthen us in this fight that each one of us is going through individually, so that someday we may live in his presence eternally without any fear or any enemies around us at all. Amen. With that in mind, please join me in the prayer collect. You'll find on page 152. Page 152 in the front part of the hymn book, collect number 41, and let us please rise. Lord God, Heavenly Father, inasmuch as the adversary does continually afflict us, and as a roaring lion walks about seeking to devour us, we beseech you for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and to strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy may not prevail over us, but that we may evermore abide in your grace and be preserved unto everlasting life. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
And now may the powerful triune God of your baptism, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Go in his peace. Amen.